Welcome to part two of our conversation with John Smith about the Hell House investigation. Tell me, what do you think happened to you when you passed out that night, when you look back on that retrospectively?
I think whatever we had tried to get from that gate, which is Nurgle, was definitely trying to get a hold of me. I allowed it as well, too. But also, me being strong in my faith, it's going to be kind of hard for something like that to also penetrate me as easily as it would somebody without the faith. Mm-hmm. So it definitely tried, but my faith is definitely a lot more stronger, and that's what saved me from it actually fully taking me over, is that faith. So from there on, I always learned how to just keep, you know, that in there. I tell everybody, when it comes to demonic entities and things like that, your faith is going to be what's going to keep you safe. You know, that is the strongest tool you could ever use, is your faith. Because no matter what, they're weak. You know, they're really not that strong. They're strong to people who have no faith, because no faith in God, you have no power. But as long as you have faith in God, you're going to have more power than those demons are ever going to have. That's what I try to, you know, break down to certain people when it comes to certain situations. And that's always what I go in there with that knowledge and knowing. And that's actually kept me safe during a lot of situations from then on. Not only in that place, but in other places that I've been to. It's definitely come in handy.
So tell me about the night of Halloween 2010, when you and your whole team had an experience of being attacked in the Hell House.
So that night, we were starting to try to get on public access TV. So we were like, all right, we want to start off with like a Halloween episode, because Halloween was coming up. I was like, that's going to be like, you know, the first one we'll get, and it'll be awesome. I was like, so why don't we do that? My buddy, who is a medium, he was like, all right, we should do something to like amplify it. And I was like, no, I was like, I don't want to do that. I was like, we've already had some craziness going on there. Like, I want to try to keep it, you know, mellow. And he's like, let's just do something. I'm going, no, like, I don't know, man. So eventually he figures, all right, fine, I'll let you do what you want to do. So he ends up going back into the place, Hell House, and drawing seals throughout the building, which are supposed to amplify the energy in the house. And we pretty much let the place sit for good, I want to say, 3 weeks. And within the 3 weeks, there was a electrical storm, lunar eclipse. So a lot of weird things that tie in with paranormal energy. All that weird stuff was going on. And there's like weird things happening just around the town of Salem that weren't really like too bizarre, but bizarre enough to just kind of make you kind of twist your head and go, all right, that's kind of weird. Like, I've never really heard about things like that happening around here. And then we ended up going back. So nobody was in there until the night before Halloween, going into Halloween. So it was me, our medium, our other buddy, our medium's girlfriend was there, and we had our camera guy. So we ended up walking around the house and doing our normal investigation. And the first incident was down in the basement. So we're down in the basement and just asking questions. And all of a sudden, my buddy, who's the medium, he ends up just dropping to the floor. Now, it's in the basement. It's about 10 times dirtier than the floor upstairs that I passed out on. Mm-hmm. And he just, smacked his head off a cement floor, just blacked out into the ground.
Yeah.
So my buddy, our other, buddy, just picks him up with like one arm, like dusts him off, like, dude, you all right? And he's like, yeah, man, I don't know what happened. That was weird. Keep going on through the investigation. Go up to the main floor, start talking up there. He gets kind of weird and lethargic, but kind of bounces back. And then we go back up to the main floor, and the main floor, there's a seal drawn up there where he had drawn the seal. So he's up there, and next thing you know, he ends up passing out again. After, I think, stepping on the seal, he ends up passing out again, and my buddy just picks him up again, one arm, dust him off, and he's like, dude, like, what's going on? And we're like, I don't know. He's like, I just keep feeling this thing coming over me. And I'm like, look, like, because you're sensitive to this, I'm like, you're probably going to be a big target right now. And I said, we did what we could do to protect ourselves. I said, but also what you had done. And now just the night that we're here, because everybody knows the night before Halloween, going into Halloween, that's like when the gateways open and it's most for, you know, supernatural entities to make their way through. I said, so we're on a very heightened night. You're a very sensitive person. You know, you got to be careful. Mm-hmm. So we end up having him sitting at the top of the stairs to go back to the main floor with his girlfriend. She's holding him or whatever. And I was like, just sit down, you know, we're just going to finish up up here. So we'll go back to the main floor. You know what I mean? I said, and you can kind of, we'll just chill there. We'll do like a, you know, a quiet little session where we'll just go dark and we'll just ask, you know, questions in the dark and stuff. So he's like, all right, sits down. We're up there just asking some questions. And all of a sudden we start hearing his girlfriend screaming. So we turn around and his leg is extended and you can see in his pant legs the grip mark of something grabbing onto his pants and pulling him down the stairs. And you hear him hitting each stairs as he's going down and making it down the stairs.
Yeah.
So I jump over and grab his leg that's getting pulled. My other buddy, who just picked him up, you know, twice by one arm, has him double underhooks trying to pull him up, turning beet red, and both of us can't get him up the stairs now. Whatever is trying to pull him is trying to pull him down. And we end up, you know, it ends up letting go, and we end up pulling him up and yanking him up to the top of the stairs. Whatever tried to pull him jumped inside of him, and he just starts going crazy. His whole mannerisms changed. His face, his facial expressions, his demeanor, he became this angry, just animal. Mm-hmm. And just started literally just going crazy. And we ended up having to pin him down. And it took me, my other buddy, his girlfriend, and the camera guy to pin him down enough for me to get on his chest to hold him down even more. And I ended up jumping on with the rosary beads. And I pulled, I started reciting the Lord's Prayer over and over again and pretty much doing what I had to do to get whatever was trying to get into him out. So that was probably the most nerve-wracking moment of my life, because now I've got somebody who is my good friend who is now about to be possessed by whatever the hell we just let through this gate. So we're like, no way. Like, I have to save him. So I'm literally doing everything that I possibly can that I've learned to just get it out. And you end up hearing him stiffen up and his mouth is just open and he starts making these weird gurgling sounds and these odd sounds. And you end up just hearing like this expulsion come out of him, like this breath, and his whole body, you feel just goes limp, like just nothing. And he was just out cold. And at that moment you felt the, like, whatever lift away, and that presence now was just kind of gone for a moment. And that's at that point where I looked at everybody and I made sure everybody was okay. And I said, that's it. Like, you know, grab him. We're going to go back down. So we're going to pack up and we're leaving. I said, that's about it. We end up going back and closing it down, shutting the gate. That way nothing could ever try to come back again. I will tell you, something is still there. I had gone back this year, or last year now, so it was a 10-year anniversary since that night. I had gone back just to kind of do a reunion episode, so to say, or reunion investigation. And the activity there was strong, mainly towards me. It was definitely not what I had gotten back in the day when I was really dabbling in that place. But whatever was there was definitely remembering who I was. And that was pretty much the moment I walked in there, because before I decided I wanted to do that, one of my buddies who used to go up there with me on occasion he wanted to, you know, just get some cool shots, like some abandoned spots. And I said, hey, let's go up to the, you know, to the old Hell House. Haven't been there in a while. Let's go check it out. You know, I'd see how it is and we'll just get some cool shots. So we're taking some shots of stuff or whatever. And we end up seeing there's a new way to get in to the place through the basement. So I'm like, all right, let's just, you know, go in there and peek around. So knowing this entire layout of the house, we go down to the basement. And once again, first time being in this place since that night, we end up turning the corner to the basement. And I mean, this enormous gust of wind, I mean, enough to stop me and kind of push you back a little bit, comes at me. And my buddy just looks at me and he goes, tell me you just felt that. And I go, yeah. And he goes, there's no way that that wind could have happened like that. And I said, yep. let's head out of here. So we ended up leaving. But then once again, I was like, you know what? I want to go back and just kind of see really if that was just a fluke or if there really was something, you know, maybe still there. And definitely when I had gone there, I was like, okay, yep, it definitely still knows I'm there. We had a lot of orb activity going on. Couple of little good EVPs, some voices talking over when we were talking. Ran a spirit box in there and definitely got some good evidence out of that. So it was definitely a good night. I can honestly say I didn't have as much activity as I was kind of hoping for, but definitely still enough to make me go, okay, it's still here. It definitely knew I was here. And it was kind of at first going, no, it can't be. Oh, it is him. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
After all these years, he's back again.
They're back. And hopefully not as. Like, yeah. When you look back on that, I mean, at the moment, I'm guessing you probably didn't feel this way. But when you look back on this, I mean, does it feel reckless to look at how that was handled where your friend went around? And
if I could go back in time, I would totally find myself at that time and smack myself in the face and be like, don't even think about doing that.
Yeah.
It was extremely stupid. I can honestly say I'm probably a lucky one that it didn't get as bad as it could have.
Yeah.
Luckily, like I said, I want to say my faith and my study in that, it definitely saved me from that happening.
Mm-hmm.
I can honestly say if I was probably somebody who was just average, you know, dude, probably didn't believe in God or didn't go to church or nothing, just started up something like that. Yeah, that probably could have been very bad. That would have, with that type of, you know, demon that we were working with, that could have been extremely bad. But I'm glad that it didn't turn out that way. I'm glad everything turned out safe. But also in the later aspect, it opened my eyes to a lot and I learned a lot. And that's actually been able to make me continue on with my field and help other people out and help people in certain situations where, you know, other people wouldn't or other people couldn't. And everybody in this line knows, you know, dealing with in demonology, it's extremely difficult field to get into and to deal with, mainly because you got to do a lot of precautionary work and research beforehand.
What would you say are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned out of that experience back then?
Definitely probably, I want to say my first one, always travel with faith in God, always number one. And just don't dabble into trying to summon anything at all. I can honestly say I'll never try to summon anything in my entire life ever again. That was a one-time thing that I experienced something out of it, and that was it. And I don't want to ever really have to deal with that situation again, because summoning is totally different. It becomes a little more personal at that time, you know, dealing with a demonic entity that isn't drawn from you is totally different versus you trying to deal with something that you kind of you put your energy in to bring it about. You know, that's when it becomes a lot more difficult. That's when things can get attached and follow you, and it can make your life really, really difficult.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with John Smith about the Hell House investigation. A big thank you to him for sharing his experiences with us on the program today. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.